This is Chuck Brown from ProfessionalVoiceTalent.com. Professional voice talent? What the heck is that? And you're listening to the Late Night Internet Marketing Podcast.
With your host, Mark Mason.
Episode 47.
You can do it right when it's late at night.
Listening to the Late Night Internet Marketing Podcast, building internet businesses one night at a time. And now, here's your host, Mark Mason.
All right. Hey, special thanks to Chuck Brown over at ProfessionalVoiceTalent.com. Chuck, obviously, is a real live professional voice guy. You can go check his website out. He's got all kinds of amazing voice samples out there. And he's awesome, and he has fixed my podcast branding problem. You notice the Mason world is gone. It's late night internet marketing on the podcast now. So thanks to Chuck. If you need some voiceover work, I highly recommend him. He's awesome to work with and has been a listener of the podcast for quite some time, and I'm proud to have him. I've known him for a long time across various places on the internet. And so thanks, Chuck. Really do appreciate it. Hope you guys are having a great day. I hope you had a great Valentine's Day if you're in the United States. Big fun on February the 14th. Paula and I were able to get out and have a little fun. We got a babysitter and we just kind of chilled out and went to dinner and a movie, which was kind of low key for us, but a lot of fun. And we just got a chance to be adults out on a date, which was totally cool. So we really enjoyed that. And I have some good stuff planned for you this week. Really two things. One is I wanted to tell you a little story. And the second thing I wanted to do was I've got an interview for you here that you're really going to like from Dustin Hartzler about WordPress plugins. I had several people ask me over the course of the last couple of months, "Hey, can we talk about WordPress plugins?" And I have WordPress plugins that I use. I've talked about some of those before. But what I decided to do was go find a real live website designer, a guy who works on WordPress blogs for a living, and get him to talk about the WordPress blogs that he uses and that he installs for clients, particularly people that are making websites like the kind of websites that we talk about on this show. So I've done that. That's a pretty big interview. So that's going to probably stretch out over two episodes here. We'll get to the first half of it today. But first, I want to tell you a little story from when my mom was here last week. All right. So my mom was here and we were sitting at the kitchen table just talking about random stuff. And she said that they had this really cool new vending machine at work. And this was one of those vending machines that's got robotics and you can see the control arm go and pick the stuff up, that whatever it is that you bought, and it moves it over and drops it into the slot where you can pick it up. And of course, as marketers, we recognize right away that that's a marketing thing. They build these vending machines in a fancy way to get your attention and get you in front of the vending machine so you'll buy that Snickers bar. So that's why they do that. But it made me laugh because Mom, of all things, was talking about a vending machine. And I am a guy who likes vending machines, and there's a reason. I pay attention to vending machines. It's one of the things that I'm always watching, whether it's one of those cool Snapple machines or a machine like Mom was talking about, or we have this machine at work that uses a vacuum cleaner type apparatus to dispense ice cream bars out of a frozen section in the vending machine. It's also really cool. And the reason is because one of the very first meaningful electrical engineering courses that I took in college was a digital design course. And we had to design the coin mechanism for a vending machine. So we had to actually, starting from scratch, build a coin mechanism for, I don't think we actually built it. I think we only had to design it, but to design a coin mechanism that handled logic like, if an item is 75 cents and someone puts in a quarter, do you dispense the item? Well, no, of course, because you need another 50 cents. Well, then, so you wait, and then you look to see what comes in next. Well, if a nickel comes in, do you dispense the item? No, you only have 30 cents, and so you've got to wait for that additional 45 cents, et cetera. And so you have to build this logic that handles all possible combinations of coins coming in. You have to be able to handle the exact change and so forth. And so we built all of this apparatus out of combinational logic. You know, with a lot of these things, there's no software. All this stuff can be implemented in hardware. And so we had to do that. And prior to taking that course, I never took the time to think about how vending machines work. I just totally took them for granted. It never even occurred to me to wonder what was going on in a vending machine. And now that I took the time to design one, every time I put a coin in a vending machine, I think about that course in college and I think about, you know, the way things work. And that's how my mind works. And the reason that I'm telling you this story, and the reason I thought it was so poignant for late night internet marketing, is this is exactly the same mindset that made me interested in internet marketing. You know, back in 2007, when I got started with internet marketing, I got started because I wanted to know how money moved around the internet. It had never occurred to me to even think about it, about internet business or the fact that there was money moving around or that there were pay-per-click advertisements and affiliate commissions and all this kind of stuff going on the internet. And as soon as I took the time to understand that a little bit, wow, everything that I looked at, every click that I made on the internet was interesting to me, because just like the vending machines, when I saw something, I wanted to know how it worked. And so that's what I've been doing for the last 5 years or almost 6 years now with regard to internet marketing. So, you know, kind of the point of that is, people ask me, why do you do this? And I've given the answer before, that the main reason I do it, or one of the things that gives me the most pleasure out of doing this, is because I like helping people. I like turning their light bulbs on. I love it when people email me and say, thank you so much, I made my first affiliate sale, or whatever it is. I love that kind of stuff. And that's one of the big drivers for me. But another big driver is this thing about curiosity and wanting to understand how things work. And because of that, I would characterize myself as a lifetime learner. And that's really a great mindset for you to be in as an internet marketer, to be someone who wants to learn more about their niche and more about internet marketing by listening to podcasts like this and by reaching out to colleagues and reading books or whatever it is that you do to learn about the things that you need to know about. If you've got that mindset, that will really help you be successful in your internet business. And so give that some thought. And the next time you walk up to a vending machine to buy a Coke, I want you to think of me and my mom. All right, so that gets us to the first part of the interview. Dustin and I know each other from the podcast Mastermind group. We are both in this excellent Mastermind community. We're charter members of this community that was formed by Cliff Ravenscraft. You can read about it over at podcastmastermind.com. And if you're interested in podcasting, you know, the Mastermind is not so much exactly about podcasting. That's really Cliff's A to Z course, if you want to learn how to podcast. But the mastermind is about growing your business and collaborating on ideas about each other's business. We have mastermind sessions with hot seats and so forth. So I've gotten to know Dustin. He is an awesome guy, and he has a similar mindset to me. At least that's what I observe, that he's very interested in helping people. You can go over and check out his site at yourwebsiteengineer.com, and you can just look how beautiful it is. I mean, he's clearly a talented designer, but he's also good at the code part, and he knows how to do a lot of cool stuff with WordPress. So I asked him the question. I said, Dustin, would you come on the show and talk about plugins that are kind of must-have plugins that people who are starting affiliate sites with WordPress should absolutely include? And then I also asked him to talk about some of his favorite plugins. And he threw in some bonus content at the front, which I thought, you know, I've never really thought through this, but he also walks through how he selects new plugins when there are many to choose from, when he's looking for new functionality and he's trolling around on the WordPress .org plugin repository, and he's got to choose between four or five plugins that have similar functionality. He's got things that he looks at before he ever installs a plugin on one of his sites. So without further ado, let's get into the first half of the interview with Dustin. Right. I am very excited to finally have on the mic a real live legitimate WordPress expert. You know, I throw down a bunch of WordPress advice on the show, but now we've got on the show a guy who makes his living throwing down WordPress advice, which is really cool. And since we always talk about WordPress and how to use that as a platform for business, I thought we could spend some time with Dustin Hartzler and talk a little bit about exactly the best way to implement WordPress, particularly plugins. Dustin, how are you doing?
Oh, I'm doing excellent. Thanks for having me, Mark. And I've never really thought of it saying that I throw down WordPress information. I like that.
Yeah, it's a throwdown. And I, you know, for people who haven't come across you before, your blog is excellent. And I think it's a good read for anybody who's either learning WordPress or trying to figure out that one thing, or you know, even some advanced stuff there. There's kind of a really nice mix. And I guess why don't you talk about that a little bit? You're really kind of targeting across a bunch of different groups there with that resource.
Yeah, I've just kind of discovered in the last few months that there is people that are coming that are brand new to WordPress, who have never used it before, who get some advice from my podcast that I do on a weekly basis. I've got people who are business owners that just want to know just enough to keep a website up and running, maybe just to keep some plugins updated, when to update WordPress, things like that. And then I've got some people who really want the geeky stuff. They really want to know, okay, what should I be focusing on my website? How should I do this? How do we, you know, all these kind of cool features, because there's so many things. I never dreamed of it when I started this podcast almost over 2 years ago that I would have more content than I knew what to do with, creating things about WordPress. And it's just, it's so much fun. And I just try to help and serve, and I don't try to sell anything while I'm doing it. I'm just here to just give advice about cool things that I have found that I can do online and just try to share it with others.
Now we'll hit this again at the end, but you did mention your podcast. So why don't you tell people a little bit about the podcast and the website and where you are and how to find you. And then I got lots of questions.
Sure. Yeah, you can find me at yourwebsiteengineer.com, and that's kind of my online platform, if you will. That's where I direct everybody. You can find me on Twitter and Facebook and Google Plus, all those great places there. I do a weekly podcast. It comes out bright and early on Wednesday morning in time for your commute on Wednesday, and it's about 20 to 30 minutes, somewhere in that range, and I normally pick one topic and kind of stick with it and just kind of go through why you should be implementing certain things. So last week we talked about why you should have a content delivery network, and I could go into exactly what that is, or you could go listen to episode number 113 on yourwebsiteengineer.com. And I just try to target, you know, different things that I feel that are valuable. Most of the time they come up when I'm a full-time developer, and some of the things I run into on a weekly basis when I'm developing for other people. And then I normally try to throw in some tips, some tools, some feedback from people, and then just kind of give a general overview of what's going on in the WordPress world. I'm a big Apple geek, and I love those podcasts where the people just report on what Apple's doing. And I'm like, like, I could totally create that for WordPress because I didn't know of any other websites or a podcast doing that. And so that's kind of what I created. I created my own little, my show, and it's one of the highlights of my week.
Yeah, I enjoy the show. And, you know, the website is really gorgeous, too. It's just, you know, it looks, it's totally pro. It's a very, very nice design. I love, you know, some of the design details, like the way the menu system, the way the menu is kind of folded over the page, like the page is popping off. I love all those kind of subtle design things are very nice.
And you should probably check out now, you'll have to take a look at it sometime. But if you actually look at the black menu bars that go across where the titles are, as you scroll up, there's a little JavaScript in there. So it changes perspective. So like when you're at the top, it's like you're looking down on the ribbon. When it's in the middle of the screen, it's like you're looking right at it. And when you're at the bottom, it's like you're looking up at the ribbon. Oh, it's kind of cool.
That's
kind of a little secret that nobody knows about.
Well, awesome. Well, I really appreciate you coming on today. You know, when I contacted you, it's because I've had several listeners contact me wanting to know about plugins that I recommend. And I've talked a little bit about that in the past, but I know as a professional WordPress guy, you've got lots of plugin recommendations. But when we were talking, I think even before we get into your list of favorite plugins, which I hope we can get to, when you are trying to assess a plugin, can you talk a little bit about what you look for? I mean, the WordPress repository is just filled with all these plugins, and just like anything else in life, some are better than others. And what kind of things should people be looking for when they're trying to decide whether or not to actually even download and install a plugin?
Sure. And I'll go through my step-by-step process. This is exactly what I do. And the last count that I had, it was over 23,000 plugins, I believe, that are free in the WordPress repository. And that doesn't even count all the hundreds of premium plugins that you can't buy, you know, through WordPress. You can buy them somewhere else. So tons of functionality that you can add to your site. But normally my process, I will start by Googling what I'm looking for. So say I'm looking for a related post plugin. We'll just use that as an example. I would type in related post plugin or related post WordPress plugin or something like that. I always include at least the words WordPress and plugin, and that will normally pull up a link to the WordPress repository. And when I say that, that's basically a portion on WordPress.org. It's actually like WordPress.org/extend/plugins. That's kind of where all those things are stored. And I will just go there and I will navigate to the ones that take me to the WordPress repository first. Like those are just the ones that I feel that they have to be approved by a certain person within WordPress. There's actually a team that approved these things to make sure they're working right and they're not malicious or in any way, shape, or form. So I know that the ones that are there have at least, they've been at least filtered in that respect. And then what I do is, if you look at the WordPress repository and you look in the plugin directory, you can see the very first thing that I look at is there's these huge banner images that are kind of new. It's relatively new. They're maybe 6 months to 8 months old, but I look to see if a plugin has one of these banner images. It doesn't have to, but if it does, I know at least the developer cares enough about their plugin that they spent some time, they created something that looks visually like, hey, I should download this plugin. So that's like the very first thing that I look at. Now, there's great plugins out there that don't have that, but for the most part, all the really good ones that I find have that big, large banner image across the top of the entire section or kind of in that WordPress area.
Right, and it's like websites. If somebody cares enough to make it look nice, that's an indication oftentimes that they're paying attention. Not absolute, but it's just something to look for.
Sure. And sometimes the images are kind of fun and it's like, oh, you know, this looks like a plugin that I would want to use. Now the next thing that I look at is the last updated field. And that's like on the right-hand side underneath the big button that says download this version. Then a couple lines down, it says last updated. And I'm just looking at one here. It's the Akismet plugin, which we'll talk about in a little bit. But I'm just looking at it. It says last updated December 13th, 2012. So I'm like, okay, that's been updated within my personal preferences. It has to have been updated in at least the last 6 months for me to consider it. Now, that's not a hard, fast rule because there's a couple that I've been using for years. But there should be a reason that a plugin developer kind of refreshes, especially when WordPress refreshes. You know, we just downloaded 3.5, or, you know, if you're keeping up with your WordPress installations, we just got to 3.5. And so most plugins should have updated around that time to make sure that they are working properly and are actually doing what they say they are. And so, like, I make sure that that's my next field that I always check. If it's been outdated, WordPress will let you know that it hasn't been updated in over 2 years. But the ones that have been, that haven't been touched, you know, within that 2 year mark, there's no indication other than you looking at that last updated field.
Okay, so recently updated with a nice image. What else are we looking for?
Then I look at number of downloads. That's going to be my next thing. Like, I always look for ones that have a lot, and my definition of a lot is like 10,000 or more. But most of the really popular ones, the ones that a lot of people are using, are in the millions. So I'm looking at this one right here, and it has 13 million downloads. So, you know, it's pretty legit if it's got at least 10,000 or more.
Okay, excellent. And that's an indication that people are using it, telling other people about it, and it's spreading. And if it's junk, then the word gets out and people don't use it, or it's so untested you don't want to mess with it.
Exactly. And then you can see they normally have a ratings area, and I kind of do a balance between the 5-star and 4-star ratings, like see how many those are. And then the 2 and 3 stars, like if there's a lot of those, then that's when I'm concerned. And then I really don't look at the 1 star, because I think a lot of times people think 1 star equals good. And so I think they're kind of confused on that mnemonic, but you can't actually go in and click. I don't think you can anyways. Well, yeah, you can. You can go in and you can actually go in and you can read the reviews. So you can go and look at the 1 star reviews. And if they say, or this is the best plugin ever, then you know that, hey, they ranked it improperly.
Okay.
So those are some things I look at in the ratings area.
Okay, great. So,
and then the last,
sorry,
I was just going to say one more thing that I like to look at is I always look for screenshots, and screenshots for me give me a great visual indication of how this plugin is going to work. I'm a visual guy. Like, I can read their description, I can read their installation guide, I can read all this stuff, but without some images to instantly tell me, you know, can it do what I want it to do? Because it normally will, those will normally have the settings, or they'll show like an actual, like the plugin actually working somehow. And I can normally tell from that if that's going to do the right task of what I'm looking for.
I see. So, you know, again, it's kind of a care and feeding thing. If the developer is taking the time to do all that, that's also an indication that it's well supported. And then if you look at it and it looks like what you need, then you know you're well on your way to having the right plugin.
Exactly. And a couple things that you can look at, you can always look at the version number. You know, it can be like version 1.2.4, if it's 3.4.7. If it's got a lot of numbers and like or 2 or 3 digits worth of numbers, you know it's been updated a lot. If it's a 1.0 or maybe a 2.0, that probably doesn't have a lot, or it's the very first version, so there might be some issues, might be some bugs, things like that. That's not something that I normally take into consideration, but is another thing to look at and think about.
Okay, awesome. Understood. So that's quite a list. And then if you feel like you got something that meets your needs, you give it a try?
I do, but I don't just click the download button from within WordPress.org, because to do that, then you have to download it. It's now saved on your computer. Then once on your computer, then you have to manually upload it back to WordPress. So what I normally do then is when I find a plugin that I like, I will find the name, I'll copy the name, and that's normally up in the banner area. You can just copy the text of the plugin name, go back into your WordPress installation, go to the plugin section and the add new in the plugin section, and then you can type that in there right there, or you can paste that in and you can hit go or submit or whatever it is, look, search, whatever that button says. And then once you're in there, then it gives you a one-click installation. You can click the button once, it automatically installs. Then you don't have those files sitting on your computer, and it just saves you an extra step.
Okay, excellent. I understand. So you always do your installs from inside of WordPress. Now, it used to be, and this is a little bit of a technical detail, but it used to be on some servers that installation would work, and on some servers it required FTP and some authentication. And I guess that's an issue of whether or not SU FTP is installed. And does that always work now with Fantastico, this one click installation business?
I think for the most part, you are right with it is a on a host by host basis. And sometimes it makes you log into your FTP credentials every time you want to try to do something like that or update WordPress. But I found that there's an easy way around that. You can actually add three lines of code, and it's basically defining your username, your password, and your server. You can add that to your wp-config file. So it's one of your main configuration files within WordPress. And then it goes and checks every time that you go to that screen or try to add a new plugin, update WordPress, things like that. It goes out to your WP config file and it looks and it sees all your credentials, and then it automatically logs in for you. It's been a long time since I found a host company that doesn't allow or for me to even have to use that code. Most of them these days, I've had no problems installing it.
Okay, great. So you click, you install the plugin, and then you test it out and see if it does what you want to do, I guess.
Yep. Once it's installed, then you have the option to activate it. And most of the time, like, I'll go in and I'll activate it, I'll play with it, I'll see if it's the functionality that I need. And if it's not, instantly delete it. Like, you deactivate it and then delete it, because we don't want extra stuff hanging out in our plugin area. We don't want outdated plugins. So if you forget to delete it and it becomes old and outdated, then that's a perfect way for a hacker to get in, things like that. So if you find that it's not going to work, delete it. I know that I've had issues with people before, like, oh, I don't know if I use this or not, or if it's disabled for a reason, or, you know, you just kind of get confused. And so when in doubt, just if you're not going to use it, remove it from your WordPress installation.
Yeah, so that's a really important point. So any plugin that you know you're not going to use, hit the delete button. Deactivate and delete are not the same thing.
Exactly.
Okay, great. So tell us a little bit about the plugins that you recommend for new WordPress installations. You know, I talk to people about building affiliate marketing blogs where, you know, they're managing traffic and creating content. We use WordPress for that kind of platform. And when you're, you know, so that means people are often installing new WordPress blogs. What plugins are you recommending for those sorts of installations? And as a side, do you delete Hello Dolly or do you leave it in there?
Hello Dolly is out. I normally, when I'm installing WordPress, I normally delete that stuff, or I delete Hello Dolly for sure before I even start rolling out installation. So I have my own kind of custom install, and so I don't have to delete it on every site. It's just deleted from my main file. But if you are somebody that's interested in creating content online and you value your content and you don't ever want to have to retype all those blog posts or all those affiliate links, then the very first thing that you should install once you have your website up and running, no matter if you have zero content there or not, needs to be a backup system. I can't stress this enough. It's so easy to do. There's free options, there's paid options, and I think for most people in just getting started, I mean, just a free option is perfectly fine. It's going to be the best way to get you up and running. You don't have to go out there and spend $150 for a program like Backup Buddy. That's going to be more along the lines for people who are moving their website from one server to another. And it's more of a developer type tool. But two that I came up with, or two that I've used and really like, one is called BackWP Up. And the other one is called WordPress Backup to Dropbox. And I'm going to explain the WordPress backup to Dropbox. I like this one because that backs up your source file. So that's going to back up all your themes, all your plugins, all your uploaded images. It's going to make sure that you have a backup copy of just pretty much everything that's on your server, and that saves it to Dropbox. And as long as you have a Dropbox account, you know, that syncs with the cloud, it syncs with your computer, you know, it's on every device. You know, you can get backups within backups by having it on Dropbox.com. And so that's a free option. The only thing I don't like about that one is it does not back up your database. And your database is where all your blog posts are stored, all your links, all your menus, all the data for your website. And so that's why I like to recommend BackWP Up as well. You can use one or the other. If you just want to use one, BackWP Up is the perfect one to use. You can find that one. Both of those are in the WordPress repository. I've got links to all these things that I can send over to you, and you have the ability to back up your database, and then you can export it to different places with WP up. And so you can email them to yourself, or you can save them on a different server, and they're just kind of out there in the cloud, and you probably never need them. But if you do, you know, you get hacked and you want to just restore, that's the simplest way to do it, is with a backup.
Okay, very good. I like that recommendation, and I like the idea of installing that absolutely first.
And then once you've got that done, then something that I do absolutely second is a security plugin. And I also have two to recommend here. Both are free. Both are very, very similar in detail, but in how they work. But one is called Better WP Security, and the other one is called WordFence. Both of them free, both of them in the WordPress repository. I'm a personal fan of Better WP Security. It basically gives you a checklist. I think there is maybe 30 line items, 20 to 30 line items that it goes through and it checks, and it makes sure that your website is set up as tightly encrypted as it can. So it'll make sure that you have a tough password, and if it doesn't, it'll ask you to configure it. It'll make sure that you can block out other IP addresses from actually accessing your WordPress dashboard. So like, I have mine set up so that everybody except for like the state of Ohio where I live, or the region that I'm in, you know, I can say I don't want anybody else to have access to that. You can set it up so you can only have access to your site between certain hours during the day. Like, I'm only ever going to edit my website from 5 a.m. to 5 p.m. or, you know, Eastern time, or I'm going to do it from, you know, 5 in the evening to 10 in the evening. That's the only time it's ever going to be updated. So I don't want people to be able to log in or even, you know, get in. It makes it easy so that you can get rid of your header information so people can't see what version of WordPress you're using. I mean, it's got a ton of stuff in there, and you just basically go through it. And a lot of times it's like, are you sure you want to do this? You're modifying your database. It's perfectly safe. And especially if you have a backup, and especially if you're doing this right after you've set up your site, you're not going to lose anything. I mean, if you've just set up, you've installed the backup, and then you run a better security plugin, and it messes something up. I mean, the worst case scenario, you start all over and you do that 10 minutes worth of work all over again. Because once it's set up, it's good to go, and you'll never have to worry about it again.
Now, have you seen that where this thing has gone in and had some interaction with some other database fields or things it wasn't expecting, or are you just saying anytime something touches the database, you want to have a backup?
Anytime you run a plugin that it's going to do something with the database, you want to have a backup, but I've never really seen an issue. The only issue that I could see is maybe with other plugins not working quite right, because like, you're going to change the table names in the database, and if you've got another plugin that's looking at, you know, there's just a few little quirky things that could happen. Like, I don't think you would ever lose data. It just might be there, but you can't access it. So you'd have to have somebody that has database access and can get in and kind of modify a few little things. But never seen a problem with that, but it's always best just to do it early, and then you don't have to worry about it.
Okay, great. So we're backing up, we got some security, then what?
And then I'm going to either activate or install a new spam filtering system. WordPress comes with one called Akismet. It's a free plugin, but to activate it with an authorized account, I think you can still get it maybe for free, but it suggests a donation of a few dollars a month or something, or a few dollars. I'm not exactly sure. And then there's another one called AntiSpamBee, and this one's free as well. But you can, both of them, what they do is they check comments against the their servers and their web servers to make sure that if the comments are spammed or not. I know that for a while, like on my website, I was getting tens of thousands of spam comments like a week. And without Akismet that I had running on my site, I would have had to go through and manually filter through each one of them and see if they were a legitimate comment. If they're not, you know, and they're just kind of annoying. Like, you can tell that they're not real comments. It's just a pain to go in, and you have to delete them. Otherwise they show up on your site, and just kind of a headache. So you want to get rid of that spam by using one or both. You can run both of them if you want, and it might even help get some that one of the other ones doesn't. But I've had great success with both of those.
So I haven't looked at Akismet in a while, but I think the cost and the kind of licensing you need depends on whether or not your intent for your website is commercial, if I'm remembering correctly, that they've got pricing for you know, just regular bloggers with no commercial intent, and then different pricing if you're going to monetize your site, as I recall.
Yeah, I believe that is how it looks. We can pull that up real quick just to see. But I'm looking at, holy smokes, I'm just looking at my Akismet stats. And in November, it detected 111,000 spam comments to my site.
Wow.
That's, and so in a 6-month period, it's blocked 313,000 pieces of spam that I didn't have to deal with.
Wow. That's very impressive.
And I'm looking here, I've got the API key sign up. And I mean, it's easy if it's a pro, if it's a non-personal site or blog, it's $5 per month. If it is a personal site for non-business personal sites or blogs, that's anywhere between $0 and $120 a year.
Okay.
And so for $5 a month to not have to delete 313,000 comments, yeah, it's worth it.
Yeah, that sounds great. So,
and it's not like I have, you know, hundreds of thousands of people that are normally coming to my site and leaving comments and stuff. No, it's just all kinds of junk that gets, you know, the robots go out there and they try to hit you up, and it's just, it's a nuisance. That's for sure.
After this episode goes live, I bet all 4 of my listeners will rush to your site.
And hopefully they send me lots of spam. Just kidding.
All right. So we've got those. So what's next?
Now, the next one, I think kind of from here on out, it's kind of a toss-up, but the next one I'm going to talk about is an SEO plugin. There are a couple of those out there as well. WordPress SEO by Yoast and All-in-One SEO. And I'm not a big SEO guy. I don't know a lot about it, and that's maybe why I'm kind of naive when it comes to that sort of thing. But, you know, I just try to do the best job that I can writing valuable content. I tag my posts accordingly for what I can and what I know, and then I just kind of leave it at that. I don't use the tool nearly as much as I should. The really cool part about using a plugin like these, they add a new little widget area to your posts. And I'm going to pull one up here so I can kind of talk through it a little bit. But it basically, underneath the editor area where you enter your post, it gives you the ability to go in and pick a keyword for what you want to focus your post on. And it's a focus keyword, and it goes out and it finds related keywords that Google, you know, has accepted as good keywords or keywords that people are looking for. And then you can modify your site title and your meta description based on the exact post that you make. And then that kind of gives you a little bit better ranking when it comes to WordPress and when it comes to somebody searching on Google. And then the really cool part is it has a page analysis, and the page is really, this analysis is really, really cool because it goes through and it says like how well your page has been written, you know, is it at what grade level, how many words is it? And it's just kind of like a little checklist that says, hey, you probably should add a few more words to your post, or hey, you've only said your keyword one time and it was at the bottom of the article. Maybe you should put that at the top. And it just kind of gives you an idea like, hey, this is how I should be writing. And it gives you an SEO check, and it's got a red, yellow, and green, depending on how many of those things you get right. And so it's really kind of a neat way to kind of learn how to structure your content and how to write valuable blog posts that Google's going to like and actually index and that sort of thing. So I don't know a lot about it, but it just kind of gives you a general idea of, okay, these are some things I need to focus on when it comes time to kind of finding strong keywords or using keywords in my blog post.
Yeah, you're right on the money with Yoast SEO. I used to use All-in-One SEO years ago. And of course, you know, with focused on land and convert and organic search, I'm a heavy user of these sorts of plugins. And the Yoast plugin, in addition to the fact that Yoast is basically a genius, the thing about this plugin is that it allows you to preview what the searcher is going to see in Google right there in the plugin.
Mm-hmm.
And what's really nice about that is, you know, one of the conversions that a lot of people never talk about when they're talking about SEO is the conversion from the search engine results page onto your website. So it's one thing to rank up there where they can see you, but you know, searchers still have to make a choice, and the choice that they make is going to be based largely on what it is that they see. And the thing about the Yoast plugin is it allows you to see what the searcher is going to see and change it right there in the plugin. And so that's one of the main reasons that I use it. So that's the one that I recommend.
Yeah. Plus there's more than just SEO in there. You can go in and you can, you can do a lot of different things. You can do site-wide data, so you can go in and change your titles and your meta for like all your pages. Kind of, it sets up defaults, and so you don't have to do that. You can generate a sitemap. You can work on your, you can do some things with permalinks and your internal links, and you can export your settings, which is really cool. So if you get set up and you want to start another website, another blog, you can just export your settings and import it into the next one. So lots of cool things. I think Yoast is a genius. That is a true statement, and I like using his plugin and supporting him.
All right. Well, that gets us through about the first, the first half of the interview with Dustin. I promise I'll have the second half next week. Sorry to leave you on pins and needles, but I'm already at 40 minutes on this episode, and I didn't feel like I should sling down an hour and a half long episode. So until next week, I hope it's all good for you. Well, by now you know as well as I do that the sound of that music means that it's time to bring yet another episode of the Late Night Internet Marketing Podcast to a close. I hope you found something valuable inside this episode that you can apply in your own internet business. I really do believe that you can get everything you want in life by getting other people what they want. And I hope I got you a little something that you want in this episode. Let me know how your business is going. Stop by the Facebook fan page and just say hello. Now go make some progress on your internet business. If you do a little of that every day, after a while, you're going to love the results.
Thank you for listening to the Late Night Internet Marketing Podcast. This show rocks because of listeners just like you. And we really hope you enjoy this episode. We want to hear from you. Stop by latenightim.com/feedback and leave a comment, ask a question, record a message, or leave a review on iTunes. Mark does his very best to respond to each and every listener personally. Just let us know how we can help. Until next week, and have an absolutely fantastic day.
You've been working for somebody else, but you want a business to run yourself. You want to know how to start and where to begin. Can you get out your comfort zone, my friend? Yes, you can do it right when it's late at night. At the end of the day, your dreams burning inside. So keep it up and you will find that you one night at a time.
I hope you guys enjoyed the new outro there. I'm still working on that, getting that tweaked up a little bit. I'm not quite happy with the audio quality. It's clipping a little bit, so look for that little improvement next week. I'll try to work on it some more between now and then. And I hope you enjoyed my true life tales of vending machines. You know, this thing about being curious about what's going on around you, that can lead to all kinds of great things. And as a marketer, I really encourage you to think about sort of marketing all the time. What, notice the marketing around you. When you go to a restaurant, are they collecting emails? What are they doing with them? I saw in a place once that was giving away a free bowl of queso in exchange for email. You know, think about these things and how they might apply to your business and what you can learn. Be awake about marketing and pay attention to it, and the stuff that makes sense, use it in your business. It really helps. I hope you guys have a great day. I had an awesome Valentine's Day, and we'll talk to you next week.
Hey, it's Mark again. I wanted to tell you one more time about this absolutely free resource that I have for helping people who are trying to get the big picture for internet marketing, actually get started and understand what all their choices are. If that's not you, there's no more content. You can skip to the end. But if you're someone who came to this podcast because you're searching for how to get started online and you just can't cut through all the noise, I get it. That was me in 2007 when I was trying to get started. There were so many people throwing offers at me that I really couldn't even understand what all the different business models were. I couldn't understand how money moved around on the internet. And I couldn't really get a grip on what direction I wanted to go in so I could figure out how to move forward. I've created a free video resource for you just for that purpose at latenightim.com/explain. In several short videos, I just explain to you what internet marketing is all about and what online business is all about and the different options that you have for starting an online business. There's nothing to buy there. You just sign up for access and you get the videos just like that. So if that's interesting to you, or if you know someone who's in a same situation, send them that link, latenightim.com/explain. And let me know what you think. I'd love to hear what people are thinking that are in the exact same position that I was in more than a decade ago in 2007. In some ways, it seems like yesterday. And in some ways, it seems like an entire lifetime ago. Again, that's latenightim.com/explain.
Late night internet marketing.